Hi there, I'm James Warden, and I want to know, have you heard the good news concerning God's forgiveness? If you haven't, you really need to, because it will give you peace of mind and give you a good conscience toward God, that you can approach the throne of grace with the full assurance of faith, knowing that you are accepted in His Son. Today, most of Christendom has been hoodwinked by false teaching concerning God's forgiveness. And it is mainly due to our lack of knowledge concerning how God's forgiveness operates under our new covenant, which is called the covenant of grace, as opposed to how it operated under the covenant of the law. You see, God's forgiveness operated in this manner when the law was enforced. Jesus Christ was giving a parable, and by the way, Jesus Christ ministered to the Jews who were under the law, so He taught them as under the law, and He gave a parable. And He ended this parable and said, "So likewise will my heavenly Father do unto you, if you will not forgive from your heart every man their trespasses." Well, in that parable, the guy was thrown in prison. And he was saying, hey, if you don't forgive every man their trespasses, then neither will God forgive you. Well, that was under the law. Under the law, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Forgiveness for forgiveness. If you forgive other people, then God would forgive you. That is not how it works under our new covenant, the covenant of grace. Under our new covenant, we do not forgive to get forgiveness. We forgive others because we have been forgiven. Not so we can get more forgiveness, because God only forgives the Christian one time, and that's at salvation. The Bible says that what God does, He does forever. Nothing can be taken from it, nor anything added to it, that men may fear the Lord. And at our salvation, Jesus Christ cleansed us in His own blood. And the Bible records, as a principle, that which God has cleansed, call not common nor unclean. In God's sight, we have been perfected forever. We have no sin in our life as born-again believers, according to Colossians 3:3, because right there in that scripture, it says that Jesus Christ is our life. And in 1 John, it'll tell you that in Jesus Christ is no sin at all. And at our new birth, we were born into the body of Christ, baptized literally into the body of Christ. And in that body is no sin, nor anything that can defile. You see, you have to be able to discern that you have two natures living within your physical body. One is called the old man, which is the flesh. And then you have the new man, which is the Spirit of Christ. These two are at war, the one against the other, fighting for territory, so to speak, so that we cannot do the things which we would. And the Bible says that when the born-again believer sins, it is no longer he that doeth it, but it's that sin that dwells in his flesh. The flesh nature serves the law of sin. Likewise, the born-again believer can take no credit when he does good, because the Bible says that only person that's good is God. And without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And the good that we do, it is not us that doeth it, but it's the Christ that dwells in us. So whether it's good or evil, it is no longer us that doeth it. It's either the sin that dwells in our members or the Christ that dwells in us. And at salvation, God forgave us once and for all. And the Bible records in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, that He perfected us forever. He doesn't perfect us day by day. He perfected us forever. He's the one that perfects us. We don't perfect ourselves. Jesus Christ is at work in us, working in to do of His good pleasure. It's not our work, it's His work. He has underwritten the responsibility to get us into the kingdom of heaven, because if we had one sin against us, we couldn't enter in. And there's another false teaching going out in the body of Christ that says that, hey, every time you sin, you have to confess that sin unto God to get forgiveness. That's been perpetuated for hundreds and hundreds of years in the body of Christ, because people have not studied the scriptures. The Bible says if that was true, and that if you had to get fresh forgiveness for your sins that you committed every day, then Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of God, would have had to have been offered up often from before the foundation of the world. Remember, he was called the lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. He was only slain once. But if we had to get fresh forgiveness for our sins we commit daily, then the Bible says he would have had to suffer often from before the foundation of the world. Why is that? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. So if you had to get fresh forgiveness every day, then you would need a new sacrifice every day, because in the old covenant, you couldn't take a lamb that you slain yesterday and offer its blood again the next day. No, that's not how it worked. And so it is in the new covenant. Jesus Christ is our lamb. He was our only lamb. He's our only sacrifice, and he was offered once and for all. The Bible says that he was made manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And that's exactly what he did by his work on the cross. On the cross, the physical body of Jesus Christ literally became sin. The physical body of Jesus Christ literally became sin, as it is written, "He that knew no sin was made sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him." We are in him. Never ignore the scriptures that says we are in him, through him, by him, and unto him, because those little words are very important. Therefore, since we are in him, and in him is no sin at all, and when God looks at us, he does not look at our flesh nature, that one that's inside of us that serves the law of sin. Of him is like what God said to Rebecca. He says, "You have two natures in you, two nations in you, and one of them I love and the other I hate." That's what he could safely say to the born-again believer. The flesh nature in you I hate because it serves the law of sin, but the Christ in you I love because it serves the law of God, and you're joined unto it at your new birth. That's how God views the born-again believer. The born-again believer, God is not charging sin against him. Though we commit it because of our sinful flesh nature that we had, that is now crucified with Christ and dead in God's sight, God looks upon us as being just as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous, because Jesus Christ has clothed us with his righteousness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our righteousness, Jesus Christ is our redemption, and Jesus Christ is our sanctification, and he's made unto us wisdom. That word redemption is important. If you look in Colossians, it says the definition of redemption is the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, it says that he purchased for us eternal redemption, which is defined then as being eternal forgiveness of sins through his blood. Therefore, when you, the born-again Christian, come before God saying, "Oh, Father, I really blew it today. Could you forgive me for that sin? I won't do it again." God looks at you and says, "What sin? What sin? You are righteous in my eyes. You are just as holy and righteous as Jesus Christ is holy and righteous. You have been forgiven eternally." He's not forgiving you daily. He's forgiving you once and for all. So then, James, what are you saying? When we sin, what should we do? We should repent. God's word comes to us, and the Bible says it is given and is profitable to correct us and give us instructions in righteousness. And when we find ourselves deviating from the instruction from righteousness that the word gives, then we are to repent. And repent does not mean to confess. Repent means to turn and make an about face and get back on track. Remember in Revelations, when Jesus Christ was judging the works of the church, he says, I know thy works, and I have not found them to be perfect before God. Each time, except one time, he said, repent and go back and do the first works. Repent did not mean confess, because he already told them what they did. Confession was just not even necessary. It was just to, hey, turn away from the way you were going and make an about face and get back on track with my word. That's exactly what he was telling them. He didn't tell them to confess and maybe I'll forgive you. He just said, get back on track. Because one thing we need to know, that under grace, God is not imputing our sins to us. You know why? because the Bible says that sin is not imputed or counted against you where there is no law. Sin is not imputed or counted against you where there is no law. And then it says that you are not under the law, but under grace. David described this blessedness in Romans chapter 4. He is recorded as saying, Blessed is the man whom the Lord will impute righteousness without the works of the law. He says, blessed is the man whose sins are covered and iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute or count against him sin. We are the ones whom the Lord will not impute sin to. Why? Because he has perfected us forever. The Bible says that God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. That's why he created us in righteousness and in true holiness. We can't see it. We can look at each and every one of the born-again believers around us and say, hey, he made a fault there. He missed the mark there. I saw what he did over there. He's not as righteous as he says he is. But God is not looking at our unrighteous deeds. He knows that we are unrighteous as far as being outside of Jesus Christ. He looks at us in his Son. And when he looks at us in his Son, he says, you know what? Of that born-again Christian down there, there's no sin in his life. And do you know why? Because in my word, it says that Jesus Christ is his life. And Jesus Christ pleased me. He was the only thing on that earth that could please me. And I'm pleased with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm pleased with that born-again believer because he is in my Son in whom I am well pleased. Yet many Christians have failed to recognize that God sees us as sons. He doesn't see us as sinners anymore, even though some of us are pretty vile. He sees us as his Son, and he sees us perfected forever. And he corrects us with his word to get us on track with his word so that we won't depart from the faith or err concerning the faith or give back under law for the most part. Because remember, under the law, even in the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer for the Jews, it's not a prayer for the church as people teach erroneously, because number one, it's not prayed in the name of Jesus. And number two, the Bible says in that prayer that for God is to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, let me tell you, no one in Christendom has a perfection in forgiving their debtors. We all have sinned and come short in that area because somewhere down the line we didn't forgive someone as totally as we claim we have. Because even Paul, when he was wronged, he said, hey, I can't forgive that person that, but what I can do, I can forgive them in Jesus Christ. He says, so forgive it I in Jesus Christ, because he knew that in his flesh nature he could never forgive that person that wronged him. And those people that were teaching false doctrine to the body of Christ, he could never forgive them because he knew that he was set forth for the defense of the gospel, and that when people came against it, he got heartless mad at them. And he said that their mouths must be stopped because they're teaching for doctrines and traditions of men in the old covenant. Well, Paul said, hey, when the person did that wrong to me, I forgave it him in Jesus Christ. And that's the only operation of forgiveness that is taking place in the body of Christ, is forgiveness from the believer to the believer, from the believer to the sinners. God is not forgiving us anymore. God has forgiven us one time and said, hey, in this forgiveness, I've forgiven all your past sins. Why did he say all our past sins? Because all our sins were heaped upon Jesus Christ, and that activity has been passed. God has forgiven us all our sins at the cross, and he has instructed us that we should forgive one another, not to get forgiveness, but because he has forgiven us so great a debt. So great a debt. And he's not even imputing new sins to us, for we fall short all the time. But God is not imputing new sins unto us. He has forgiven us all of our sins once and for all. That's why when you stand before God, you'll stand there and he'll say, hey, I like you. You are pleasing unto me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you are righteous in me. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You have no fault against you. I find no fault in you. You are righteous, freely justified by faith, freely justified by grace, because we are saved by grace through faith. And God is not imputing sins unto the born-again believer. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he is not going to be judging us by our sins. Our sins has went on before us and were judged at the cross. Our sins won't follow after us. Our works will, though. And our works will follow us right up to the judgment seat of Christ. And our works will be judged. And if they aren't perfect before God, they'll be burned. But when Jesus was on the cross, he became our sin offering to perfect us forever and to sanctify us by his grace, according to Hebrews 10:14. And since we are in him, we are complete in him, and that means perfected forever, because we have eternal redemption, which is defined as eternal forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And who can lay any charge to God's elect? Nobody, for we are freely justified by the grace and peace which is in Jesus Christ.